welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this episode, we talk to Sorrel Muggeridge, a Nottingham-based walking artist who's had an unusual collaboration with an artist based in Toronto, Canada. The interview opens with Sorrel telling us how geography has influenced much of her work.
I've been working as an artist for the last 10 years, and my work has always had a real interest in kind of geography and how people experience and negotiate their surroundings or the spaces that they find themselves in, often kind of reflecting on public space or the way people use space. And sometimes those come out as performances, and sometimes they come out as installations or maps or bits of text. So I'm always working in different art forms, and mainly my work's site specific. So I will have a particular location which I'm responding to. I also collaborate with other artists, so that's a really key thing for me in my process, is that I often work with other people from different arts disciplines, or even from different places.
You were interested in geography, and you did geography at school and you had to give it up to go to art school.
I remember kind of consciously making this choice between my two sort of favourite subjects. It was whether I went the geography route and tried to explore, you know, my further education in that, or whether I went into theatre performance and visual arts. And I decided to go for the theatre and visual arts and things, and partly because I'm dyslexic and I thought I'd probably get further. So that's the route that I chose to take, but actually I didn't deviate that far, because it wasn't long that I was, you know, into that world and making work, even when I was still at university, that the geography and my interest in geography started to sort of pour back into my work, and that's happened through my sort of investigations in public space and working with people at libraries, learning the different places that they've lived and how that contributes to who they are now and why they are where they are. So that's sort of quite of a social geography to more physical geography of walking, which is the big thing in my work at the moment, particularly with my collaboration with the Canadian artist Laura Nanny.
And while we're walking along, we talked about the work you're just about to begin, how it came about.
Well, the one that I was just sort of referencing there, where I did two pieces, one called Root and one called Root to Root. Those pieces were about tracing all the different places that you've lived in your life, starting from where you were born or your first house that you lived in to where you are now. And what I would get people to do is draw a dot-to-dot drawing, and each dot represented the house and the line represented the move. And it was a very simple process, but through the drawing process I would ask them to sort of talk to me about each of those places. And they look like star constellations, so they look like you know, the same way we join up stars in the sky. And that's kind of how the project came about, was I was looking at maps of star constellations and thinking, well, why have they drawn the line that way? Why those two joined together? Why not another two? And so I got interested in the idea, okay, what is it that links two different places, two completely different places together? And I decided that it was totally about the movement of people, and that the movement of people between different locations, effectively you start kind of mixing different experiences in different cultures, or just locally, like really, really locally, you just gradually get different influences coming into places as people move, and they bring with them what they learnt in the last place. And so I really wanted to map that. So we worked first at a kind of community library in Sherwood in Nottingham. After we'd done a week getting library visitors to contribute their drawings and their stories, we ended up archiving it in a book and then creating a performance where we had, I'm saying we because I did this with under the banner of Milia, which was a collective of artists that I was working with at the time. We sewed onto the tops of umbrellas, because this library was an upstairs library, we sewed onto the tops of the umbrellas the routes that they'd drawn, and then we had 16 performers simultaneously walking, carrying these umbrellas, walking the route that was marked on their own umbrella. So what you had was, it looked like on a rainy day when you cross a pedestrian crossing, you get this kind of sea of people crisscrossing. And I really wanted to kind of create that idea for library visitors. So they all stood in the library and looked out the windows, and then below them, the sea of umbrellas kind of crisscrossed, and you saw the sense of people's paths crossing, and unbeknownst in a way, the impact and influence they could have on one another. And so then we recreated the same process in a different location at the Central Library in Nottingham and the Angel Row Gallery, who were doing an exhibition called Somewhere, Places of Refuge in Art and Life. The site for that one was within the gallery, and we had a wall of the gallery. And so once we'd done the interviews, where we went through the same process, except we added a particular question, which was, what makes up your personal landscape? And our idea was that we wanted the question to be really oblique and kind of open in order for everyone to interpret it however they wanted. So sort of, you know, leaving the response very loose. And we ended up with the most wonderful array of kind of images that people described or experiences that really meant them or their place in a way. So for the performance in that one, we mapped all the places onto the wall. So we projected their maps using an OHP onto the wall, and we marked the dots. And so we layered everyone's maps on top of each other. And once we'd stopped projecting, all you had was a sea of dots. So almost like a night sky in reverse. So the dots were black and the wall was white. Got back to the original idea. And it was a really interesting process. And that sort of, I think that really sort of rooted the foundations for me in terms of my interest in mapping.
Have you done anything else with maps?
The mapping that I do is sometimes bordering on graphs rather than maps. I'm kind of intrigued by where the line divides those things in a way. So another piece I did in London, again with Milieu, which was called Subject to Alteration, we installed a series of benches in Whiteley Shopping Centre, and this was for a part of a festival called Created Space. We left the benches there for 3 months and then spent a week observing them, and over that week we spent sort of 12 hours a day there watching everyone who sat down and interacted in the area where our benches were. We observed what they were doing at the time and how long they were there, the time they arrived, the time they left. And three of us were doing this simultaneously, and then once we brought our notes back together, we created a mapped sort of code, a code of behaviour and a code of positioning. And then for the exhibition, we built these, they looked like licorice all sort towers. So they were, each person was represented by a tile, and the tiles were stacked according to the location in which they had spent their time in our, in with the benches. And then they were painted a colour according to what they were doing at the time that they were there. And then each one had the time of arrival and the time of departure painted onto it. For some of them, we also painted on a sentence describing the activity. And it was really fascinating. Like, there would be lots of strange synchronicities. So that was another one. But it's interesting because it was a map of activity over a week, but because it's trying to capture people's movements and interactions, it becomes almost more like a graph, more like a 3D bar chart.
But it sounds as though all the stuff, the things you've been describing, very meticulous. Lots of detail and data being gathered.
Yeah,
and that may bring us on to the work you've done with Laura. So because to me that was. That was very repetitive and looking at detail. So do you want to explain how you two came together?
In 2004, I curated a kind of one-off event show, which was to connect sort of artists from different art forms and get them to remap the city of Nottingham. I cut up a city map into 9 squares, gave each artist that square of the map, and then I also gave them the same square in area in the gallery and asked them to create a piece of work in response to the bit of map to present in that bit of the gallery. And the success of that particular show got me a residency at the Bonington Gallery at Nottingham Trent University. They invited me to do that process again, which I did, and I put a call out for artists to apply who were interested or already made site-based work. And artists from any disciplines, and one of the responses I got was from an artist in Canada. And as this residency had an incredibly small budget attached, I was a little bit confused as to how we could do it because I couldn't afford to bring her over. So I asked her to kind of elaborate on how she thought the process would work and what she thought she'd get out of it. and she was proposing to work in a kind of psychogeographic way. So she wanted to do a response to Nottingham without being there, to send instructions to people in Nottingham, or ask people from Nottingham to send her instructions in order for her to respond to a place she couldn't be in. And so I was completely fascinated and just loved the kind of challenge of the idea, really. So I invited Laura to be one of the artists and then offered my services as her feet on the ground in Nottingham. Although I was initially simply going to be the feet, we found we really, really gelled through that process and through making that piece of work, which was called Space in Translation, 5,000 steps from King Street, Queen Street intersection to here. She and I decided to carry on making work, so we've made about 5 or 6 different pieces since then. For the first year, she was in Toronto and I was in Nottingham, and we made about 3 pieces that year without ever meeting. So it was a very long distance relationship, and in fact, that sort of aspect of our collaboration became really key to our process. And the
and all of it was to do with making maps, walking.
I think the root behind it was that we were both sort of fascinated by space and how people interact with their environments, but by the fact that we were in different locations, we had to find a way. How could we do something together when we weren't physically in the same space? And that was sort of the question that we were stuck with. And so we decided we needed a shared process. And the process that we sort of started with was walking. And it became just such an interesting process in terms of mapping physical endurance and also measuring and quantifying and how you can do that and how you can share something without being in the same place.
But also you found a fellow obsessive.
Yes, I found a fellow obsessive. Well, exactly. I think that's why it took off, really. Someone else who's quite prepared to count to 5,000 or actually much, much more than that. So we sort of embarked on a series of pieces. I mean, the first one that we made, she asked me to give her directions from a matching intersection where in Nottingham, this was on her piece of map. So King Street and Queen Street in Nottingham meet in a V. And in Toronto, King Street and Queen Street meet in a V in 2 points in the city, which is amazing, amazing kind of, you know, synchronistic. And we decided that, you know, I would give her directions from that point to the gallery and she would follow them. So for me in Nottingham, that was about a 15-minute walk. And for her, well, it was 23 directions I wrote. And for her, that took her 7.5 hours. You know, right from the outset, the aspect of endurance was kind of in the work. And I think the endurance is about pressure on the body. It's more about just that sort of really feeling the experience. And really, I've been talking quite a lot recently with people about this idea of body perception and how we quantify and measure things in our world constantly. You're always walking past a sign that tells you how many miles to somewhere or how many minutes to somewhere else, how long a plane journey to there is, or, you know, all these massive numbers that really, until you feel it in your body, they really mean nothing. Like, I have a physical idea of what a mile feels like. I sort of know that. But I have no physical idea of what 3,500 miles feels like. And that's approximately how far apart we are. It's actually 3,478 miles. And so these measurements and scales became kind of fundamental in our work. And we would walk around our cities because we set ourselves a couple of rules. Always there's rules in our process. And I think the thing for us is that the process really is the work as much as the product at the end. So the idea of collecting the data is about sort of making that process visible or tangible to someone who wasn't there. And in a way with my artwork, I think quite often I want to reveal that process in a way that someone can sort of see the creative mental journey that we've been on at the same time as the physical journey, and imagine those spaces and kind of ask that question of why on earth would you begin doing something like that, or oh, what would my map look like? Where have I lived? You know, just to play those thoughts through. And for me, that's where the kind of artistic and creative process sits, is in people's imaginations. And if you can stimulate that, that's you're making work.
Tell us about the installation at Banff.
At Banff,
start with the installation.
The key thing with Banff, I suppose, for us was that it was our first opportunity to work in the same location together. We devised a process before we got to Banff that we knew we wanted to perform while we were there. And it was about the idea of eroding distance. The distance between us had been the kind of core fundamental in defining the way we have been working for the last year. And now we were going to be in the same location, and so we wanted to kind of look at moving towards each other and the way that we could map distance into a space and get a sense of erosion. So how distance could become a landscape in itself, and then how that landscape could be eroded by our walks. So while we were in Banff, Laura and I found a loop trail, which we took and we walked towards each other around the loop trail. So we'd start at the trailhead, tossing a coin, going opposite directions around the loop trail until we met. From that process, we collected data, how many steps we took, how much time it took. We turned that data into distance in rope. I think we ended up doing 19 times around the Marsh Loop Trail. We had mapped the room with the distance that we'd both travelled to get there, measured in climbing rope. We wrapped it all the way around the walls of the gallery space, and then through the walking process we unwrapped it from the walls and built the peaks, which were like a graphic representation of the amount of time it had taken us to navigate the loop before we met, and the amount of steps that we'd each taken on that journey. So you had peaks that were triangles, the height of which was defined by the amount of time we'd taken, and the width on one side was defined by the amount of steps I'd taken, and the width on the other side was the number of steps Laura had taken. But the thing is that when you see the work, it looks like a landscape drawn in rope. You don't see the maths, but the maths was extensive. I can promise you, we spent a long time doing maths, to the point that we had to, after having done 8 walks, stop, discard all the information and start again. But that's because we're obsessive and we want to get it just right. So
yeah, because the other thing I'd like to explore with you was when you were doing those 19 walks.
Yeah.
Were you so caught up in the process that you wanted to record how long and how many steps you did that you actually didn't absorb other aspects of the walk?
No, absolutely not, because the very exciting thing for us is, I mean, compared to some of the other artists who were with us on Banff, we were seriously low tech. But for us, we were very high tech. We had pedometers that actually did the counting. So finally, we weren't counting in our heads. So we didn't actually have to count our footsteps. So the amount of time, obviously, you just measure when you started and when you ended. The process of walking that loop trail, it was fascinating because it didn't work how I expected. I expected to get bored and disinterested with it. But what actually happened was we became more interested and more engaged. And because we never knew which way we were going to go round it, you ended up with these kind of landmarks or markers where you would be going, I want to get to here. I want to see the little stream, or I want to go past the white rock by the pine tree, you know. And you had these sort of landmarks that became sort of identified markers in your walk.
And how long was the trail itself, so that
the trail was, I think, 2.5 kilometres, so it's not long at all, and it's a loop.
Did you stop or just wave at each other as you went by?
Oh no, when we got to the meeting point, we'd always stop. And we had to write down our steps, so we had to write down what the time. We had lots to do at that point. That was a key moment. Obviously, we had to embrace and say hello as well, because I think it was about that kind of meeting. And then once we met, we would each draw our memory of the route that we'd just taken. And the really interesting thing about that drawing was that the lines gradually got longer and longer and more detailed, where we had become so familiar with the trail that the amount of markers that we had meant that our line had to extend. So even if the line didn't get any more complex, it seemed to get bigger. So gradually, as we went on, although you would think the familiarity would reduce your engagement, I found it increased my engagement with that space, because there were so many things that I remembered and therefore was clocking each time that I went round. We would then walk back to the beginning of the trailhead together and retell our experience of our journey. So we would share the walk that we'd just taken with one another. And the idea for that was that, you know, this sort of meeting and retelling of our route would be a way of literally kind of eroding the distance between us. So we've been walking at the same time, we've been walking towards each other. So physically, we're reducing the gap between ourselves.
Quite a lot of the work that you did individually,
yeah,
and some of the work that you've done with Laura anyway, has been very much based on urban city life. And
yeah.
Here was something that was, I mean, you were transported, you know, out of the urban area.
Yeah.
You chose this marsh loop, which, if I recall myself, had very few people living near it. Are you more drawn to walking in the country, or are you more drawn to walking in the city? Or?
No, I don't see it that way. I mean, I suppose I like to walk wherever I am at the time, I think. I think we were a bit concerned about whether our process would translate to a rural environment and what would happen to it in that process. And I think what happened was, one, we became aware of how my familiarity with the urban environment meant that although there's a lot more threatening things in walking around Nottingham, I felt much safer walking around Nottingham because of the familiarity than walking around this trail where you were often on your own. There often wasn't someone else walking, particularly towards the end of our stay where it got more wintry. I think we'd envisaged that we were going to be walking in wilderness and there would be a sense of freedom that maybe our process would become frustrating to fly. But actually, because it's a national park, I was quite surprised by how I felt more restricted to stay within the past and within the designated routes, in a sense, by the park. And there's this real sense of control, in fact, and that we still are skirting the edge of the wilderness. We're not actually in the wilderness. We're walking around the wilderness. And so there was this really weird sort of sense of the path in Banff being like almost this alien environment, as though the urban has somehow invaded this wilderness.
I come to this bit where I always ask people to recommend a walk or perhaps suggest something in their local area or the work that they've done that you think has revealed something really special that you think other people should share that experience. So
okay, all right, so the walk that I have to recommend, it's on Cookmere Haven. This is near where I grew up. So it's nowhere near Nottingham, it's near Brighton on the south coast. It's called Cookmere Haven. It walks between the Seven Sisters and the other Whitecliff and along the Cookmere River, which is an oxbow river that curves in and out in amazing loops. And it's really, really flat and you've got the really short grass. And as you walk along the trail, you can see these trees that are bent sideways, almost like 90 degrees over from the wind that comes around. And the trail leads you up to the beach and you end up at the sea where the Cookmere reaches the sea underneath the Seven Sisters. And it's just got everything that I love. It's got huge rocky cliff face, it's got massive open horizon, and then it's got hills lifting up around you, and it's a really sublime, beautiful, accessible, easy walk. And I think that's definitely a walk I'd recommend. If you go up over the top from there, you can walk up and down each of the Seven Sisters, which is great. And there's a youth hostel at either end, but it was a long time since I've done that, I have to confess. Whereas Cookmere, I go back as often as I can and do that walk. It's great at sunset as well. Really beautiful. And I would have to recommend you do the Marsh Loop Trail in Banff. It has this real wild thing, but it also doesn't. And you've got the river and you've got the mountain and you get this amazing panorama of mountains. And it's beautiful for that reason. And also, I walked around it so many times, I really have to recommend that other people should see the details of this beautiful place. So that is definitely one. I would recommend that people go for a walk in their town or the place that they're really familiar with. But instead of going the way they normally go, always go the other way and see what you end up in. And I think it's really healthy to try and get off your normal route map. I think a lot of our work actually is also about trying to reveal those places to people. So performance has become a key aspect in taking people on our walks, has become quite important to us because we've found the process of walking so exciting. We wanted to get other people involved in doing that. And
you've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities. In this episode, you've heard from Sol Muggeridge. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Please follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes at talkingwalking.net. Talking Walking is written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities. Our graphic artwork was designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music was composed and recorded by Simon Sanders at Easytronic.